In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Trotting into Jerusalem on a donkey. We caught the drift of that. We're not biblical illiterates, you know. It was no white stallion, I'll grant you that, but you were claiming a kingship nevertheless. We got it. By what authority? By what authority did you flip upside down all the tables of the currency exchange folks in the temple courtyard? They were just doing out-of-towners a service, you know, changing out their dirty dinero for sacred temple coinage. What's the harm in that? And by what authority did you curse the fig tree? It was way past the time of year it should have had figs on it. What do you have against faithlessness? I mean, figlessness. When he got to Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple, the place where God is present, not symbolically present, not figuratively present, but really, truly present for his people. It was the week of Passover. People came to offer sacrifices to God for their sins, and they left with their sins forgiven by God. Not just spiritually forgiven, not just forgiven in theory, but really, truly forgiven all their sins. Jesus entered the temple. Emmanuel, God with us, entered the temple. The one in whom the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily entered the temple. The one who is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature entered the temple. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again, Jesus said. When Jesus entered the temple, the temple entered the temple. The divine presence entered the divine presence. And by the end of this celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the sinless Son of the Father would, by his one sacrifice for sin, fully atone for all the sin of all the world. Not just spiritually forgive it, whatever that might mean. Not just forgive it in theory. Not just potentially forgive it. But really, truly forgive the world all its sin. While in the temple, he began to teach. And Matthew tells us the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching, right in the middle of class, right in the middle of his sermon, in his face. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? What do you mean, chief priests and elders of the people? This is Jesus, you guys. If anyone ought to know who he is and by what authority he does these things, you should. This is a script straight out of your book, don't you know? Stupid chief priests and elders. Always fun nailing religious types, isn't it? The bigger they are, the higher they rank, the harder they fall, back them up against a wall. But that does no one any good. No one any good at all. To do some good, take these words out of the mouths of the chief priests and elders of the people and put them into your own mouth. Because this is a question we must come to terms with ourselves. Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? The religious leaders asked Jesus that question out of malice. We know that. They weren't looking for answers. They were trying to trap him so that they could get rid of him. And it was a nice trap, true, too. depending on how Jesus answers, they can get him for crazy, fraternizing with the devil, or blasphemy. Jesus, take your pick. But there's another way to ask this question, in such a way that it leads to true worship. After all, when Jesus finished his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew tells us the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority. But Jesus, that was then, and this is now. More to the point for me, Jesus, is this. Who gave you the authority to tell me anything? Who gave you the authority to tell me that the soul who sins shall die? By what authority do you test my faith with troubles and trials? By what authority do you tell me to think more highly of you than of anything else in all creation? By what authority do you tell me to honor your name and pay heed to your word? By what authority do you tell me to set apart the Lord's day as your day? By what authority do you tell me that I'm to honor those in authority over me? Not sleep with someone I'm not married to. Not to steal. Not to lie. And on and on and so forth. Who gave you the right? Who gave you the authority? Don't you know it's written in my playbook? I'm the boss of me? Who gave you the authority to be so bizarre as to promise that you'll raise my dead body from the grave? Who gave you the authority to promise me eternal life? By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Why do you want to know? Are you asking with malice so that you can call him crazy and put him out of your life? Or are you asking in amazement? Are you asking in order to keep him away, to stop him from upsetting your barely cobbled together nice little life? Or are you asking so that you may know that it's safe to put your trust in him because everything else around you is falling apart at the seams? Who gave you this authority? Why do you want to know? Where his authority comes from makes a big difference, doesn't it? Whether his authority is from heaven or from man, God ordained or dreamed up. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Whether the word preached into your ears this morning is from heaven or from man. Whether the baptism by which you were baptized is from heaven or from man. Whether this bread and wine which you eat and drink is from heaven or from man. If we say from man, then what the heck are we even doing here? But if it is from heaven, then we should be amazed at his authority and let him exercise his authority in our lives. But of course, that's the rub, isn't it? That's the issue. We don't want him exercising his authority in our lives. Question authority, that's my mantra. Challenge authority, that's every normal red-blooded kid on the face of the globe. And every adult, too. Because we want to be our own authority, our own boss man, our own big kahuna. And you could argue, it's not a bad idea. Look at what other people do. when they have authority over you? Politicians, corporate executives, union officials. Give someone else authority over me? No way. They'll only mess it up. Thank God I don't mess up any authority I've ever had. Do you remember when they brought that man to Jesus? They lowered him down through the roof, and Jesus forgave the man his sins, and the Pharisees were indignant. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Of course, you know the rest of the story. Jesus said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, rise, take up your bed, and go home. And the man did just that. And Matthew tells us, when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Like it or not, Jesus' authority is from God himself. But here's the truly amazing thing. Look at what he does with his authority. With his authority, he created heaven and earth and all that is good and gave it to you as gift. By his authority, he gave you your parents, your brothers and sisters, your mind and your health, your strength and your skills. By his authority, food, graciously comes to your table. And a vocation is yours, the doing of something that makes a difference. True enough, by his authority, he gives you his law, not because he's an ogre, not because he's a legislator who gets paid to invent rules, but because he knows how his whole creation works best. But even more importantly than that, in fact, most importantly, because by his laws, his Holy Spirit convicts you of your lawlessness. But there's something else he does by his authority, something even greater, something even more amazing, something that someone with such authority does, never does for someone else under authority. For the scriptures tell us he takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. By his authority, he lives and died for you. By his authority, he laid down his life for you and took it up again so that he could wake you from the grave of your sins and from the tomb of your death. By his authority, by his power, the power of his creative word, he creates saving faith in your mind. By his authority, he poured his word-filled water out upon you to take away all of your sins and give you a whole new life. By his authority, he sticks his forgiveness words into your ears to take away all of your sin and so that you may start each day in grace and at peace. By his authority, his supper, he gives you his body and blood, food and drink that strengthens and sustains you so that you may take up your cross and follow him. And by his authority, no matter what, he promises always to be with you wherever you go and never let you go. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Why do you ask? Do you want him gone? Or does what he does with his authority amaze you? Oh, they had it in their minds, these chief priests and elders of the people, that by the time the Passover was over, they would prove once and for all to everyone who was amazed that Jesus' authority was from man and not from heaven. And they strung him up on a cross and they killed him. But on the third day after Passover, Jesus rose from the dead. By his own authoritative word, he said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again." By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Why do you ask? Do you want him out of your life? Or does what he does for you with his authority amaze you? I pray it does. For by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.